How's it going, everybody? Brent Elvers and Dave Meltzer here, Wrestling Observer Radio, August 3rd, 2026, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We got a lot of news to get into here today. And starting off with the bad news, a UFC flyweight fighter, 34 years old, passed away on, I guess, Monday morning.
Well, this morning, when he
believed
woke up,
to be of a heart attack.
A heart attack in his sleep, yeah, last night. Alan Nascimento, who'd been with UFC for about 5 years. He'd had a 4-2 record in the company, 22-7 overall. And he fought most recently in June. But yeah, really sad news. No other details as, you know, why a 34-year-old would pass away of a heart attack. I mean, things do happen, but that's really all we know. But yeah, very sad news.
All right, we've got the earnings report that came out today, TKO releasing their financial results for the second quarter. And in there was the information about the settlement for the shareholder lawsuit and how much WWE has to pay.
Yeah, so we don't know what the final settlement was, but we do know that WWE is on the hook for $105 million, which is a hell of a lot of money. They said that they believe their insurance will cover about $70 million of it, which I'm sure the insurance company will attempt to get out of it because of the nature of that suit. But if they don't, I mean, their insurance rates are going to go like through the roof between this one and some of the other lawsuits that they've had. But the $105 million, like I said, is the WWE's, is how much WWE has to pay. We don't know how much Vince McMahon has to pay, and we probably won't know because he's a private person. It's not a public company. And it may not be more than $105 million. That may be the total. You know, the lawyers were asking for, I think it was like $472 million and up in damages. They obviously settled on the eve of the trial. You know, I mean, it's $105 million is a lot. That's a huge, huge settlement. They could have gone to trial. The problem with going to trial is, number one, what if you lose? Although they probably weren't going to lose. I mean, that judge had all but said that he didn't believe pretty much anything in a lot of the key things that the TKO side had said because of evidence disappearing, and he just felt he was very, very negative on them. So they probably weren't going to lose. But the thing is that if the shareholders' lawyers, if they won the suit, you know, no matter what the award was, if it was, you know, a big, big number, they were going to appeal it, and they'd have to go through this process over again in the appeals court, where again you're risking a loss. So it's like kind of like in this situation, you get $105 million, and the lawyers get, you know, the lawyers working on the case are going to get a huge percentage of this, not like 50%, but a big percentage. It's a killer amount of money for something like this. For, you know, so from their standpoint, you know, I mean, that was the best move. I know a lot of people wanted to see them on trial. The trial was never going to happen. They're never going to put Vince and, you know, all those people on trial for a number of reasons, including the Janelle Grant case. You know, I mean, as far as like things would come up, because the Janelle Grant case was the catalyst for everything. So a lot would come up having to do with that case. And I think they were obviously working on settling that case as well. And if all kinds of new evidence came up that would benefit the Grant side, it would be much more difficult to settle that case as well, or to have them just go, okay, we'll go to arbitration. Because obviously in the Grant case, the lawyers for Grant felt that the judge was going to rule for arbitration. But if there was a lot of new evidence, maybe they wouldn't. So, you know, that was also a reason to settle. But I mean, I think the main reason is just it's $105 million. It's a lot of money. And, you know, that's how it's going to, you know, it was, I don't know if it's more than I expected, because I expected a giant number, because, I mean, they had the goods on them and they were on the eve of the trial. And that's kind of like, if you really look at a lot of these cases with WWE, like the Ring Boys case, you know, I mean, that one, if they can't find a way to throw it out by the legality of the law, that one, they're going to stall and stall and stall. And then when it comes to the trial or near the trial, they're going to offer whatever settlement they can offer in the exact same way. I mean, that's the strategy there. It's not to let it go to trial because, you know, a jury could be very, very, very appalled by the nature of that case. And it's better, of course, to settle. And the lawyers will be happy because they'll have it and they won't have to go through appeals or anything like that, and it's guaranteed. And you know, that trial may not be as easy as slam dunk as. And again, I don't know that this one was a slam dunk, but it was. I mean, it looked bad for the TKO side, and obviously, by the amount they paid, they thought it looked bad for their side too, because you know, you wouldn't pay that kind of money, and you know, they can absorb that money. I mean, they, you know, the Kung Lee case, they absorbed that one. And there's going to be more, you know, on that side too, that they're going to probably end up settling for various amounts of money in some of the other cases having to do, you know, the Cajun Johnson case. So it's just, you know, that's part of their doing business.
All right. We're going to talk about Raw a little bit later on, but the show ended with this bizarre segment where Roman Reigns walks through the curtain at the end of the show, and Rey Mysterio steps up to him, and he says, "Roman, I'm not sure if you know this or not, but I am the GM of AAA." At which point, Roman Reigns says, "I know now."
I know now. That
really, quite a way to bury the company.
That really puts it over as being important, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does.
Yeah.
And then Rey goes, "I have something I'd like to talk to you about." I was like, "What?" So first off, you buried AAA. Second off, well, now you're going to put Roman Reigns on AAA?
Didn't they bury him again during the show tonight, too?
I mean, they buried him by beating Dominic for the second night in a row when he's defending the title against El Grande in a month.
Yeah.
But, like, what are they doing with Roman Reigns and AAA?
Well, obviously, they're going to put him on a show.
Okay.
Now, what I can tell you
weird.
Is... It is not going to be the MGM Grand Show, which would have been like my two first picks were the MGM Grand Show or the show in Edinburgh, Texas, which goes against you know, the one that goes against All In, you know, because that those made sense as far as they're fairly, you know, they're the next two upcoming. It could be Chicago, you know. I mean, because that's a big one. They're running the Allstate Arena. I figured Punk would work that show. I didn't figure Roman would work that show, but they might, you know, and I'm sure Punk will. I'm not sure, but I mean, I certainly expect Punk will work the show. Maybe they want Roman to work the show. It is head-to-head with AEW's pay-per-view in the same city. Obviously, they're going to do some sort of a special on it, whether it be YouTube or elsewhere, Netflix, something, somewhere. And probably YouTube. But I mean, the key is that I think that in that case, you know, the big thing is that they're going to go head to head with the AEW pay-per-view in the same city, and they want to draw a bigger crowd, and they probably will. They're in the Allstate Arena and AEW's in the Now Arena. So they're in a bigger arena to begin with. And they're a little bit ahead in ticket sales. You know, even though it's not a pay-per-view going against a pay-per-view. But, I mean, CM Punk in Chicago is going to draw. That's just the reality of the situation. And you add Roman, you know. But I don't know that, like I said, I don't know Roman is on that show. It would make sense for him to be on that show. I only know that he is not on the Texas show, and he's not on the MGM Grand Show. The MGM Grand Show was my first thought because it's like they had moved it from the Luxor to the MGM Grand. And, you know, MGM Grand is for their setup is probably close to 12,000. And that's that's an ask for AAA, even if you call it Triple Mania. I mean, like, obviously the 1,600 seats, they sold out instantly, and, you know, why they booked that. I mean, they had their reasons for booking that small of a building, and now they have other reasons for booking a bigger building. I think they wanted to make it to look more impressive and everything like that. But it would make all the sense for Roman to be on that show, I thought. But not really thought. I mean, I thought that really he's going to be on a AAA show to go against AEW. And well, I don't know that's the case. I mean, that was my actual real first thought. And there you go. You know, but it's not against the one with All In. And I think for their perspective, you know, do you really want to throw him on a... Because it's a show with NXT and AAA in Texas. You know, it is going against their biggest show of the year. Ain't going to have any major effect on their pay-per-view. It's not going to have a zero effect on their attendance in London. And, you know, do you want to throw Roman Reigns on that show where it's going to get killed no matter what? Probably not. Do you want to throw him on the show in Chicago with Punk where they could outdraw AEW and perhaps keep AEW from selling out Chicago? Yeah, that one makes sense. But again, like I said, you know, that will all come out in the wash, which show he's on. But obviously he's going to be, you know, that's what that's about.
All right, we now have a bunch of details on this Continental Cup as they announce the field. So this is what's going to happen. We got 16 participants, and those are Jon Moxley, who, of course, is the Continental Champion, so he's defending the belt throughout this cup. Nigel McGuinness, Jay White, Brian Cage.
Just do the first round matches. It's probably better to do the first
round. Let me just give all the names and we'll do the matches. Nigel McGuinness, Jay White, Brian Cage, Kyle O'Reilly, Shibata, Matt Sydal, Hechicero, Roderick Strong, David Finlay, Jack Perry, Claudio Castagnoli, Orange Cassidy, Ace Austin, Jake Doyle, and Eddie Kingston. So Eddie Kingston has returned. That's newsworthy.
He's been around. He's
not on AEW television. He has not been on AEW television.
Yeah, but he's been on ROH on almost every show.
Yes, but fans have been asking for months, where is Eddie Kingston? Because he's not been on AEW television.
He's on ROH television. If they read, they would know.
Dave, I think the problem is people want him on AEW television. They don't want him on Ring of Honor. They want to know why he's not on AEW television.
Well, because they have cards, and they focus on the guys on the cards, and he's not on the cards, and is he going to make the cards better? You want to add another match to these pay-per-views?
With Eddie Kingston? Yeah.
Really? Have you seen Eddie Kingston wrestle since he came back?
Tell me.
He's not as, you know, he came back from a horrible broken leg. He's not mobile.
Well, he's in this tournament.
Well, he's going to, you know, he'll work hard. People will get behind him and everything. But, you know, there's a reason. But anyway, yeah, he's in the tournament.
And Jay White also in the tournament. So apparently he was not injured too badly when he got spiked on his head.
He was banged up, but he's supposed to be, you know, he was only supposed to be out for about a week or so, yeah. So he'll be there. So go through the first round match. I mean, it's weird because it's like, it's guys. You know what I mean? It's guys. It's matches. It's like, I guess as they get down, there will probably be somewhat intriguing matches. And of course there will be many good matches. But it's, you know, it's not a loaded field. Like, as far as, like, really, truly top guys, other than Moxley, who's the defending champion, I mean, you know, the second biggest guy is probably, well, I guess Orange Cassidy would be the second biggest star in there, right? You know, Nigel, you know, really. It's not like it's loaded with the top guys, but it's something. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, it's like it'll be good matches.
Well, and here's
hopefully good matches.
Here's the story. So, like the Continental Classic, no outside interference. There will be no time limits, and there are no brackets. They're doing first round matches, and then all of the winners will go into a blind draw to make more matches. And the semifinals take place in Glasgow on August 26th. So this Saturday,
and then the final match will be at Wembley Stadium.
This Saturday on Collision, it is Ace Austin versus Claudio, Eddie Kingston versus Jake Doyle.
So that's probably a Claudio win. Eddie Kingston, Jake Doyle, probably Doyle. I mean, not for sure, but probably.
And Orange Cassidy and Matt Sydal.
Obviously, that's Orange Cassidy.
And next Wednesday, Dynamite in Las Vegas. It is Jay White and David Finlay here in this blind draw.
So that one could go either way.
And Moxley and Jack Perry.
Which I got to think Moxley's going to the finals. Interesting that Jack Perry is going to be the first round guy, but it's, you know, I mean, it's got to be a title match worthy match, and so there you go.
And then Saturday in Vegas, Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, Hechicero, and Brian Cage.
Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. That's an interesting match, huh? It's partners. Obviously, that one could go either way. I mean, it's interesting. And then what's the other one?
Hechicero and Brian Cage.
So that's Callis family against each other. So similar idea. And that one could go either way, too. You know, I mean, you could go in there and say, well, we don't want to beat the CML champion, but it doesn't appear that they're so big on that one. And the last time they were in a tag match together, it was Hechicero, not Brian Cage, who lost the fall. So I think it would indicate in Tony's mind maybe an edge for Brian Cage. But, yeah, that one can go either way.
And Nigel and Shibata.
I think Nigel will go past Shibata. I think Nigel might go to the finals, honestly.
He might win. I mean, the whole thing ends in Wembley.
Yeah. Announcer winning the whole thing over Moxley. I don't know that Moxley should be losing to an announcer.
Well, he's going to Wembley for the finals.
I would think that he would go to the finals. He'd be my favorite to go to the finals.
So Moxley and Nigel seems to be the finals of this cup.
I would predict that, but I mean, you know, not necessarily, but yeah, I would predict that.
All right, CMLL and the AW CMLL show, which is coming up today.
Yeah, so the CMLL tonight in Puebla, let me just get my notes. The main event, they had a long match. It was Soberano Jr., and my God, was he... This place was loaded with women, even more than when I went to Rio Coliseo a couple weeks ago. I mean, it's just... You know, and they kept focusing on them in the crowd, and Soberano Jr. was so... this was so over. So over. So much more than everybody else. So the deal was... And total babyface, because the idea was that, you know, the Mexicans are sticking together against all the foreigners that are in town for the Grand Prix. So it was Soberano Jr. teaming with Mascara Dorada and Neon against Doki, Austin Aries, and Leon Cage from the UK. And, I mean, as far as, like, compared to most main events of late, I mean, it was certainly good. I mean, you know, you're not going to have... You know, you're not going to have a match with Mascara Dorada and Neon that's not good. But it wasn't like the highest level. I mean, Austin Aries is a good worker. He's in really good shape for his age too. But you know, he's not used to making Mascara Dorada and Neon look spectacular as someone who's more familiar, like an Ultimo Guerrero or Zonda Khan or you know, Averno or any of those guys that you see every week. They're going to be much better because that's their game. Leon Cage has some cool moves, good flying and everything like that. Doki's, you know, he's good, but I mean, he didn't like stand out or anything like that. I mean, it was a lot more cheerleading, a lot more felt like a spot show. I mean, they had, you know, sellout and everything like that. And Soberano, pinned, I believe it was Leon Cage, with the, you know, fire driver to win it. No surprise there. The big thing was the angle after the show where Soberano is doing mic work and crowd's just going crazy and basically talks about how, you know, the Grand Prix is Friday night and, you know, it's Team Mexico against Team the World and that they were going to be on the same team and it's kind of cool being on the same team with Mascara Dorada. And Mascara Dorada said that, you know, like, we're going to be on the same team on Friday again. And maybe we could be on the same team more than that. And Mascara Dorada sort of liked that idea. And Neon did not like that idea at all. He just got that look on his face like, whoa. So I planted the seed for something, or maybe nothing, but that was the big thing. So tonight, I believe it's I don't remember the start time. It's, I think it's 7, I'm almost sure it's a 7:30 local time, which would mean 5:30 Eastern. And it's like 10 matches, which is way too many, because, you know, like, even if they start at 7:30, I guess they could do a 3.5 hour show. I mean, they like to do 2 hours and 15 minutes to 2 hours and 30 minutes at Arena Mexico. Their feeling is that, look, they're running three shows a week. Now, actually, they're running four shows a week. So they run four shows a week. You don't need to do, you know, long shows. You don't need to tire out the audience, because you're running, I mean, like, four nights in the same building, five nights in the same city during the week. I mean, so that's the mentality there. But this one may go 3.5 hours with 10 matches. I don't know. Even keeping the matches short, I mean, do you really want to, I mean, because there's some really cool matches on it. So it's Leon Cage and Max Starr. And that's going to be 10-minute time limit, which is a good match on paper. Then they have Candela and Kira against Maya World and Hyon, which will be interesting, I guess is the best way to put it. The Calavera brothers against Lee Johnson and Blake Christian. Now, one of the things in this is that there's going to be a lot of AEW wins in these, you know, AEW versus CMLL matches, but they have to have some CMLL wins. It's on their home turf. I mean, you have to. It's probably best to split them. I mean, the Calaveras are certainly far, far, far bigger stars than Lee Johnson and Blake Christian, so I expect that they will be one of the ones that gets a win. Esfinge is doing a 10-minute time limit singles with Austin Aries, and you know, that Austin Aries just beat Neon the other night. He may win this one. You know, I don't know. Tag team titles. New Japan Strong tag team titles, not CMLL. Angel De Oro, Niebla Roja against Doki and Yujiro Takahashi. Yes, Yujiro Takahashi at Arena Mexico in a championship match. And if New Japan wants those belts back, that could be a title change. But goddamn, like, if I'm... I would certainly, if I was New Japan, want a better team than that. Yujiro, my God. But we'll see. Then it's Mexico versus the Don Callis family. So it's the Technicos, babyfaces, Neon and Zelwa will team with Ultimo Guerrero and Zondo Khan Jr. So two babyfaces, you know, but representing Mexico against the Callis family, which will be Brian Cage, El Clone, Hechicero, and Volador Jr. And then Soberano Jr., Commander, lightning match, 10-minute time limit. So, you know, it's like they're going to have to rush. And that one, I'm sure that Soberano wins. That's probably going to be the one of the CMLL ones. And Bandido against Cavernario. Now, this was going to be a Ring of Honor championship match. It had been billed for a couple of weeks as a Ring of Honor championship match. Today, they made the announcement it is a non-title match, as they had announced for the Philadelphia show on August 22nd, the next Ring of Honor big show, Bandido against Nick Wayne for the Ring of Honor championship. So I guess they want, it's going to be a big opportunity for Nick Wayne in a you know, big show main event against Bandido, because they always go over 20 minutes. And Bandido always, just has incredible matches on their shows. Here, this is not a lightning match, so they will have time. I think that Bandido wins this one. I mean, too high on the pecking order. Although, Cavernario is, you know, in a key match on the anniversary show. And it is non-title, so he could win. Kevin Knight against Teton for the TNT title, which, you know, intriguing match, good match. Teton's one of their best wrestlers. Kevin's been down there a couple times. He does very well in the lucha style, so that should be a very good match. And then The main event is a non-title match, Kyle Fletcher and Moscow Dorada. I think it actually would be cool booking for Moscow Dorada to win to set up a championship match. It actually makes a lot of sense to do it, but I don't think that will be it. I think that that will be, you know, the one that that they will insist because, you know, Kyle is one of their biggest stars. But
why not put the title on the line then?
I don't know. That's a good question. They never advertised this title match. So they could have Dorado win to set up a title match. To me, actually, that would be really good booking, whether you have the match in, you know, you wouldn't have it in Wembley, obviously, but you could have the match on TV in the United States, or you could bring Kyle back to Arena Mexico on one of these Fridays and you know, have a big main event. So it could happen. You know, that one could happen. And it should. That match should be a fantastic match. I mean, you know, those are two of the 10 best in the world right now. So they could have. And you know, these guys like Kyle Fletcher, like Dorada, like Commander, these guys, when they go to Arena Mexico, I mean, their deal is, like, go out there and have these incredible matches. So I think that one might be awfully good. I think Bandido Cavernario will be awfully good. Kevin Knight and Titan will be very good. And probably some of the others will probably be good as well. Maybe not as good as those three, but, you know, they're Soberano and Commander. I mean, you know what Commander's going to, you know, I don't know what Soberano's going to want. You know, he's not in the main event. You know, it's he can play to the women and get through easily. But Commander's going to want to work. You know, even though he's most likely losing. But yeah, it's a bunch of matches with no build that is just with the idea of giving people a bunch of AEW stars against and other outside stars against the Mexicans. And that's the deal. I don't know how many big crowds you can get in a week. You know, I mean, they had 13,200 on Friday. They had 12,000 plus on Sunday. Wednesday's going to be a big crowd because that's Grand Slam Mexico. Friday's the Grand Prix. I got to think the Grand Prix selling out. So last year, the Tuesday did about 6,500. So I guess that would be the goal. But this is a better card than last year's Tuesday card, I think, as far as marquee names.
All right. What do we have for ratings?
Well, only got, let me get those numbers. I only have the Thursday stuff. AW did 362,000 and 0.05, which, you know, compared to what they've been doing, it's not that big. It's Thursday, you know, I mean, you can't, when you go on a new night, you know, it's going to be tough. Especially a night where there's another show, although, TNA fell from like 306,000 and 0.05 to 170,000 and 0.04. So they actually weren't that far behind AEW in the 18 to 49s, but in total audience, AEW doubled them. And, you know, 50 to 54, AEW probably destroyed them. But yeah, it wasn't, 18 to 49 was relatively close, but it's TNA's night, you know? So, I mean, they should have whatever, but I mean, they went down, you know, I mean, they lost basically almost half their audience from the week before because of AEW going head to head. So I'm sure that if they were not happy with AEW, before, I'm sure they are very unhappy today.
All right, a couple of MMA notes. BJ Penn is running for office.
Yes, he is. We didn't talk about the conference call.
Oh, for the settlement?
Yeah. No, the settlement had nothing to do with the conference call.
What conference call are you talking about?
TKO Shapiro and Ari Emanuel.
The same thing. It's when it's in regards to the financials where we got the lawsuit settlement. All right, what happened in the conference call?
Yeah, they talked. So the key stuff, I guess. Let's see. So with you know, rather than just go through numbers and everything, for UFC, they talked a lot about the, they really talked a lot about the Freedom Show, you know, the June 14th show, made a point that it will never be done again, although they may, you know, they like the idea of doing shows in unique places, but this one will never be done again. They said that they lost $30 million on it, which, you know, they were kind of defensive in certain ways. Mark Shapiro actually lost it, and I was listening, and I missed, because I was writing stuff down about something else, and he lost it on some point about something somebody said, and he was just like, they said this and blah, 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 and I don't remember what it was, but one of the things he said was, people said we were going to end up losing more than $30 million, and we only lost $30 million. And in reality, they didn't lose any money at all on the show. I mean, it's like, you know, if you look at what they're getting from Paramount per show, and this show in particular more than any other, it's not a loser, you know? I mean, they're getting way more than that. They basically said that as far as the losses on the day, the fact is they picked up a lot of new sponsorships that came in for that show for the first time. They felt that they expanded the brand. They considered it a big success. That was like mainly the stuff. There's a lot of the boxing talk, but nothing of any, you know, I mean, they talked about signing Shakur Stevenson. They mentioned, you know, that they had run in Bournemouth, England. They mentioned that they had run in the Infosys Theater a couple weeks ago, last week actually, and last Sunday, and didn't bring up the attendance or anything like that because they had to paper that one pretty big. Just that they are ahead of schedule, you know, obviously plugging Conor Benn and Ryan Garcia. And that was mostly it. One of the things they said, which I thought was, that Shapiro said, which I thought was hilarious, was that, you know, they're going to be signing so many of these young, good fighters because everybody wants to fight for Dana White, you know? And it's just like, yeah, right. The guys who fight for Dana White aren't even happy fighting for Dana White, you know, because of the money and everything like that. I mean, it's like, but he did say that. On the wrestling side, I never brought up attendance for SummerSlam. That didn't talk about it at all. He said that we sold out the Fan Fest. That was his big take on the thing. Talked about the idea of two-night shows. He said that he felt they probably could have sold more tickets for one night, but the experience for the viewers would not be as good, you know, which basically means they didn't want to do a five-hour show. They want to do two, three-hour shows. So that's why they did it, and that makes sense. But also, what he didn't say is that for two nights, you got two big gates, even though these gates were not as big as I'm sure that they expected, by no means. It's still two gates is bigger than, like, if they had only done one show, okay, they're not going to do the same gate as they did the combined for the two. So it is more money coming in, which they, you know, yes, would they have sold more tickets for the one show than they sold each night for the two? Probably. I think so. But would the gate be anywhere close? No, wouldn't be close at all. Talked about Mania. So also they the basic explanation for that was, obviously New York. They, you know, they sold way, way, way more tickets in New York last year, obviously, because it's New York. They didn't say because the company's hot was hotter a year ago, but the company was hotter a year ago. There was no addressing the decline in attendance. It was not brought up, and nobody called up about the creative and the things like that, and that was never brought up either, the creative or anything. For WrestleMania, basically, you know, and also Minneapolis paid for the show, so that's, you know, part of it. They got paid a lot of money by Minneapolis to come in. For WrestleMania, they said that, you know, Las Vegas paid a lot of money to get the show. They said it was down in attendance, but it was still one of the larger gates, were two of the largest gates in company history. Well, they never even said it was third and fourth behind last year. So, I mean, it might even, is it could, I haven't looked in the details of the numbers. They kind of indicated if you did, you could figure out what the gate was, but I haven't done that yet. But like it, you know, it was the highest ticket prices by far they had ever done for a show. So even with lower attendance, in theory, they should have been the two biggest gates in history. The fact they weren't has to be a huge disappointment. But, I mean, we know WrestleMania didn't sell as well as the year before. And we know that, you know, and obviously when the show was over, we already knew they never bragged about setting any record gates. So we knew that, you know, it didn't beat last year. So, you know, it's, again, for all the reasons been talked about to death, too many, you know, going back to the same city this the next year. Ticket prices were very, very high, but, you know, they were high the year before too, but they were higher this year. That was, let me see if there was anything else that, was of any big note. Just, you know, they felt that they had not been to the Midwest for a big show, for a pay-per-view show in a while. You know, big money shows coming up for both UFC and WWE. I think Phoenix got a package of UFC, WWE, PBR, and Zuffa Boxing. So they're trying to do that where you they can get money for not just the UFC and WWE big shows, but for their, you know, PBR and Zuffa. And if they can get it, more power to them, you know, if cities want it that bad. I mean, I don't know what PBR and Zuffa Boxing, you know, are going to bring to the table as far as tourists go. I mean, they didn't draw in New York at all, and New York's, you know, with a good main event. So that one's going to, the Zuffa Boxing for them to draw is going to be tough. I you know, this Ryan Garcia and Conor Benn fight will be very interesting. Both ticket prices and, you know, how well they draw. That's an interesting one, because it'll be a lot of people monitoring it. If they paper, I mean, it'll get out. So there's that. But as far as, yeah, did not address any of the significant points, you know, just that, you know, UFC set a bunch of great gate records for, you know, in some of the buildings, and WWE didn't. I think they may have, when one of the European cities set and what they called an entertainment gate record. I think that was, you know, the show in Italy, the pay-per-view show in Italy, or PLE show in Italy.
So tell me about BJ running for office.
He filed to run for office.
What?
It's quite insane. But, you know, he is in fact insane. I mean, he's completely insane, and there is no, you know, rule that you have to be sane to run for office. There's not even a rule that you have to be sane to win, because of, you know, whatever. He ain't gonna do. I mean, look, they're really not gonna vote for him. I mean, he ran for governor before, and nobody took him seriously. I mean, he's nuts. What can I say?
All right, Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, there was, I have not seen this yet, but Uncrowned did a documentary on Cain Velasquez, you know, in depth and everything like that. I've seen some clips of it. I saw the one clip, which was, you know, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, he could expect, he had a hard time. I mean, you know, a guy like him. I mean, even though, like, when he's in prison, right? I mean, he's the king of the prison, right? You know, I mean, like, legit celebrity and, you know, Mexican star. And what he's in prison for, you know, was, you know, a lot of the prisoners probably thought it was the coolest thing in the world, what he did, which it wasn't. You know, I mean, I understand the emotion in doing so, but... I mean, obviously, he handled it all wrong. I mean, you don't go down on a road and just start firing shots. I mean, innocent people could, you know, there could be a car accident. He's lucky as hell. They're all lucky as hell. There wasn't, like, a major car accident from what he did. But, you know, he was out of his mind with rage. And, you know, and he said basically that as bad as it was, and as bad as prison was, and you know, he was, you know, went through very tough times in prison, you know, being away from the family for months, you know, I mean, it had to be a killer. He said that he couldn't live with, it was an interesting statement, he goes, I couldn't live with myself if I had done nothing. And what if, like, my son, when he's 15, 16 years old, comes to me and go, Dad, you did nothing. And he said that that's the one thing, it's really, you know, that's the one thing that he said that he, you know, he at least says that he, you know, can't say he did nothing. I mean, what he did was wrong, but he didn't do nothing. So I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, I've not, again, not watched it other than that clip and a couple of other clips, but that was the most interesting clip of all.
All right, before we get to Raw, the American boxing meetings.
So the ABC is having meetings right now, and one of the topics that they're discussing is fouls, you know, in MMA, and in particular, they are there. You know, this is all the commissions getting together for like the annual convention, and you know, they realize that there are too many eye pokes. I mean, yeah, there's low. This has to do with low blows and eye pokes mostly, and low blows happen and everything, but the eye pokes, I think, are more concerning in a lot of ways. Obviously, you know, the Tom Aspinall situation. I mean, it nearly cost him his career, and there were multiple eye pokes in that thing. And there's a lot of, you know, the eye pokes are a real bad situation because, like, if you're in a fight, the fear of an eye poke is a real fear. It's like, you know, it's in many ways scarier than getting knocked out, somebody jabbing their fingers in your eyeballs, you know. And if you see a guy coming with the open hand, you know what I mean, and his fingers are coming to your eyeballs, it can be very scary and you can react to it. I mean, obviously by closing your eyes or trying to, you know, whatever, and as a feint, it, you know, it can have really bad repercussions. And getting actually poked in the eyes is you know, it could stop the fight. If it doesn't stop the fight, it can stop the fight temporarily, and then you come back, and you always come back too quick. You know what I mean? Because you're standing there, and there's all these pressure, and all these fans, and everyone's going, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? And, you know, you can't see, and as soon as you can kind of see, you're going to go, yeah, I'm ready. But you only can kind of see. Or it may have damaged your eyes, but you're not going to quit, you know, like you're not going to go in there and say, I can't see, because, you know, when you say that, the fight's over. So it's a real problem. And I think that the Tom Aspinall Ciryl Gane fight really brought it to the fore. But people have talked about it for years and years and years and years. So their mentality right now, and this is not passed yet. It was a bill that was talked about today. And I think maybe yet today was to, if there is a foul by complete accident and does no harm, that's okay, right? You get the warning. If there is any damage, it should be a 1 point right away. Usually the referees will give you a warning and then maybe even a second warning, and then in theory, if it happens again, that's three times, maybe you dock a point, which is, you know, it's not a deterrent. You know what I mean? Because it kind of gives you, for sure, one freebie, maybe two freebies. Then you got to start being careful. I think their mentality is they want the fighters to not do this at all. First time, 1 point. And if it's intentional, if it's intentional and ends the fight, it's a DQ. If it's intentional, or if there's any intent to do it, and it's not just an accident in the eyes of the referee, who will never judge it as a for sure, because you never know if it's a for sure. But if it's any kind of flagrant foul, and the fight can go on, the thing that they were talking about is 2 points. And 2 point docking, that's giant. That's giant. People aren't going to, you know, knee somebody in the head illegally, or poke them in the eyes, or give them a low blow, and risk losing 2 points. I mean, that's too big. So we'll see if that passes. I mean, there's people who are definitely supporting of it, but also in a lot of cases these things don't pass because at the end of the day it's kind of like it puts way too much pressure on the referee to do this, and referees are going to be slow on the draw on this anyway because that's just who they are, because you don't want to decide the outcome of a fight because of a foul. But if you don't risk the outcome of the fight, there's not a great deterrent to fouling. You know, it's like so many people this year have come to the conclusion that because these referees don't call anything, you know, whatever the foul is, that you're kind of like, you know, especially certain referees, it's kind of like, you know, elbow to the back of the head, go do it. You know, you're not going to get foul point, and you can do damage before he stops you, and it can help you finish the fight. So I think that all of those things, that they do need to be addressed, and those fouls do need to be punished because, again, like I said, the deterrent's got to be stronger, and you don't really want people to benefit from fouls, and clearly people have benefited from fouls in the last year.
All right, we got Raw to talk about, which was the follow-up to SummerSlam, and it is notable that they have 5 weeks until Saturday night's main event, and 10 weeks
Sunday
to Sunday night's main event, but 5 weeks, and then 10 weeks until the next PLE. So they got a long time.
They got a long time to build a lot, and tonight was like the start of like, it was felt like the start of like all kinds of new programs because they finished up a bunch of big stuff. And I'm sure Friday will feel the same way. This show, you know, like again, historically, this should be one of the highest rated shows of the year. We'll see, because obviously Raw has been, you know, at an all-time low level. So will this pick it up as much as other years? We'll see. You know, the main event marquee-wise, not that big. But, you know, Roman's on the show, and they started stuff and got a whole bunch of new directions. And obviously, you know, Roman and Oba is the ultimate direction, and they're not going there now, as I was sure they wouldn't. So LA Knight's kind of like the guy to kind of fill the spot, to bide time. You know, if that's because Roman is defending the title at Money in the Bank, and if that's the Money in the Bank match, that buys you 10 weeks before you gotta, you know, get someone else in that mix.
So the show had a longer runtime than usual. It was 2 hours and 37 minutes, although the first 9 minutes was Roman Reigns just walking to the ring. And he basically came out, and he did make a comment about how at WrestleMania he, quote, beat the old man, that being CM Punk.
I think, you know, a lot of people, when they talked about when Roman talked about the thing about, you know, the guys who left, you know, and they thought that he was dissing Moxley. I think he was dissing Punk and Cody, you know, and most people do.
So he acknowledges, he said, you know, I can't acknowledge everything, but you guys can. And basically, it's all done with Seth Rollins. The fans sang Seth's song, and he let him do it for a while. So then LA Knight comes out. And long story short, LA Knight notes, I've been calling you out for months now, and you're a fraud. And he says, I beat all of the bloodline. I want what you owe me. And what you owe me is a fair match. You went one-on-one with Seth. Nobody interfered. No bloodline. And I think you need to do that with me as well. And Roman says, the only fraud is you. What have you done? You haven't won a tournament. You haven't won a battle royal. You haven't won a big match. You don't get a shot by bitching. So get out of here because you're wasting my time. So he goes to leave. And LA says, you know what? You're very cool. I have, in fact, earned it time and time again. It took you and 38 guys to stop me. You use numbers, sneak attacks, a shield, basically. And I'm lightning in the bottle. I'm everything that you wish you could be but aren't. And when you figure out how to buy a pair, you come and let me know. And so he left. And Roman was gotten to. And that led to some stuff later on. So it is Roman Reigns, LA Knight.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're going.
Probably Money in the Bank. I mean, maybe Saturday night's main event, but I mean, it's possible. I could definitely see that for, well, it's not for the, it's actually Sunday night's main event, the one that's upcoming in September 6th, I think the date is.
We had Javon Evans and Ethan Page, And they had a good match, but it was not a showcase for Javon in the sense that it's one of those matches where Ethan just, like, he beat him and he beat him and he beat him, and Javon would start to come back and get beaten and beaten and beaten. And finally, at the end, Ethan goes to untie a turnbuckle pad. The ref catches him, and as they're arguing, Javon leapfrogs over the referee, and it's an OG cutter and gets the pin. So they give this big win to Javon just so that Big Cass can show up and beat his ass.
Yeah.
And he booted him.
He was the setup guy for Big Cass.
Lariat, East River Crossing finisher, left this guy for dead. It'd be funny if it wasn't depressing, but that was that.
Well, that's who they're going to have his first feud with. They want to make him a heel, and they figure that Javon's got some popularity. And but, you know, if they had their first match, I mean, obviously Cass is beating him, right?
Yep. He sure is.
He should. He should. You know, he should win his first match coming in.
Roman then chews out the Bloodline backstage.
Losing the match the other night.
He says, you guys all wanted to be equals, but you got to win. You can't go out there and lose a six-man. Solo, where's that guy at? He should be getting me coffee. L.A. Knight is disrespecting me and Royce Keyes. And he goes, Jacob, are you my family or are you Royce Keyes' family? He's not family. He's not related to you. He's just one of the boys. Don't let these circus folks confuse you. We're the only Bloodline. You got to trust nobody. And Jimmy goes, just say the word. We'll take out LA Knight. And Roman goes, no, you had your chance. Leave that fool to me. So he leaves, and LA shows up, and LA is reveling in the fact that these men are not supposed to touch him. And so he trolls him, and he leaves, and away we go.
Especially Jay was the one he was focusing on.
He did not like Jay Uso.
Yeah. He just kind of laughed like, you can't touch me.
After the break, Royce meets with Jacob. Royce goes, we fought together all over California. We did everything together. I'm your brother. We're supposed to be family. And Jacob looks at me and goes, you're not my brother. You're not my family. You're just one of the boys. I'm Bloodline. So enough of this. It's me versus you tonight in a street fight. And there's your main event.
Mm-hmm.
So Liv comes out for a promo. She's got Roxanne and Raquel. Does her usual deal. I'm the greatest of all time. I'm going to be the longest reigning champion of all time.
Well, if she ever defends a title, she can do that.
Got to talk about my sister, Raquel, and this and that. She's going to prove, she says, that she can beat Sol Ruka. Man, this poor Sol Ruka. It's Roxanne versus Sol. And Sol starts making this big comeback. And there are several botched spots here in this match. And she tries Pop Rocks. Sol counters it into the X Factor. Raquel hits the apron. Sol hits her. Goes for the Sol Snatcher. Liv just punches her. DQ. Fans hated this finish because it sucked. Yeah. And then Roxanne and Raquel hit Sol with their finishers. Sol is left for dead. Suddenly, Becky's music hits. Becky is returned as a babyface, and she gets in Liv's face, and she says, you know what? I'm going to make sure it's not another 100 days before you defend that title again. You're a glorified valet, and a women's champion should be fighting, not flirting. You got the worst title reign of all time. But things are about to get a lot worse for you. And so Liv runs her down, and Becky goes, you're not even the best champion in your own group. You're not even the best champion that slept with Dom. And so Stephanie's music hits. She returns. And she takes out Roxanne Raquel. Lays everybody out. And the segment ends with a stare down between Becky and Stephanie.
So they're probably going to have a match. Winner against Liv Morgan.
Which is interesting because one of the things with WWE lately is all these babyface matches. And they brought back Becky as a babyface. And now we got another babyface versus babyface match to determine who faces Liv.
Did you babyface constantly? Because at the end of the day, you know, I mean, that's
it's too much of it.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, when it comes to like the big stars, the fans turn the big stars babyface, and once you do that, you know, when you want to have the big match. I mean, look, the biggest match they got, Roman Reigns and Obafemi, it's babyface. He's got no other match that could draw anywhere close to that one.
Roman is the weirdest babyface, though, because he is such a dick to everybody.
But everybody cheers him.
Yes, they do.
He is the biggest star in the company. I mean, when he comes out, it's a completely different reaction than Punk gets, than Cody gets. They're close in a sense, but he's got that aura and presence. From all those years on top and the legacy and all that, and just everyone knows, you know what I mean? It's like, he's the guy, you know, he's the guy who makes the most money. Doesn't matter who sells the most merchandise. He still makes the most money. So people have had that drum down their throats, but you know, he comes out like he can do any heel thing he wants and they're going to chant OTC like crazy. That's just the deal. That's part of the deal. These fans, it's they don't want to boo anybody, you know. I mean, some people, when they're heels, they cheer them, you know. I mean, a lot of these guys that are baby faces became baby faces because the crowd cheered them, you know, not because, like, they didn't want to turn Seth Rollins, you know what I mean? They had to.
Got a Brock Lesnar video package. Paul's walking on, or he's watching on. Oba walks up and says, "I never got to say thank you to Brock for all the things he said about me and to me. When you see him, tell him I said thank you." Paul said it would be a pleasure. Congratulations. They shook hands. Oba then comes out for a promo. Does this big promo about beating Brock. And they're now trying to explain this stupid retirement thing. So the story now
This story makes no sense.
He says, "I beat Brock at WrestleMania, and Brock should have known that I was the one, but then he had second thoughts. He had to make sure he was right. And so he kept following me around, and then he beat me, and then I had to go to the deepest depths with him one more time, and I came to the surface. I passed the test. Now the beast can finally rest." I was like, what in the fuck is this guy talking about? And then he says, "Sometimes the path is clear. My destiny is clearer than ever. So with the torch passed," he says, "I will forge my own way, lead a new crop of talent. The old guard will fall. If anybody has a problem with that, they can answer to me." And then he leaves. He makes no mention whatsoever of the title. He makes no mention whatsoever of wanting a championship match. He makes no mention whatsoever of Roman Reigns. He makes no mention whatsoever of CM Punk. Nothing.
That's because he ain't going to wrestle them right away.
Sounds to me like he gave up that title shot.
Well, we know he's
getting... Because he sure as hell didn't bring it back up here.
Well, we know he's getting the title shot at WrestleMania, and that's when he should get it.
Yeah, probably from winning the Royal Rumble is going to be my guess.
I mean, however, whatever. Yeah, maybe, whatever it's going to be. But, I mean, the point is like, they're not going to sacrifice their biggest money match until we get to WrestleMania this year. They ain't going to do it in Houston. They ain't going to do it on Raw. That's what it's going to be. So, we're in August. They'll be pushing it, you know, come November, you know, I think it's about the time where you start really talking about it. There's no point in talking about it now, you know? I mean, you talk about it now, then you're telling everyone, man, LA Knight's going to lose. You know
what
I mean?
Sure, shit sounds to me like he shouldn't have won that King of the Ring for the title shot in the summer.
Well, guess what? They are marketing him as King of the Ring. It's part of their marketing. Every time he comes out, they say, King of the Ring. You know what I mean?
So you know what I do if...
That was the marketing.
Hey,
they
Dave,
wanted him to win.
You know what I do if I want to market him as the King of the Ring?
What?
I have him win the King of the Ring, and I don't say that it's for the championship match. I just have him win a King of the Ring.
Well, yeah, I can't disagree with that one. You know, you're right, but... You know, they felt that if they didn't say that for King of the Ring, that people wouldn't care about King of the Ring. You know, it's like,
well, you got a problem then if they don't give a shit about your tournament.
Well, it's the only way to get the tournament over is to lie, and that's what they'll do. You know, I mean, that's WWE books that way. They've always have. It's always been, you know, about. You know, like, you don't have to live up to stipulations. You can say something. I mean, look, there have been plenty of times at WrestleMania where guys have won the Royal Rumble to get a shot at WrestleMania, where Vince right after goes, he's not getting a shot. I remember when Ray won, it was like, he's not getting a shot. We've got to figure out a way out, but he ain't getting a shot. And he ended up getting a shot because so many people went to Vince, like every single writer practically goes, he's got to get a shot, he's got to get a shot. No. Finally, they talked him into it. And then it was like, he's got to win. And it's like, okay, we'll let him win. And then they beat him to death the minute he won the title because Vince, you know, it was one of those things like with Nemeth or Ziggler, where, you know, Vince was convinced to put the title on a guy, but he didn't want to. So he had to make sure once the guy was champion that he was booked like a fool because he ain't really a champion. You guys just talked me into it or, you know, harassed me into it. So I'm going to make sure it doesn't work to prove that I'm right. And there you go. And this was, you know, I mean, this is how Levesque learned, you know, your big picture thing, you know, it's like you can say that. Then he gives up the title shot, you know, makes people want the title shot. You give the title shot at a much bigger show than the show that they were going to do it on because you got bigger fish to fry. You know, Oba and, you know, I mean, look, they want to do it at Mania anyway. I mean, no matter what, I mean, you know, look, Oba and Brock was bigger than any match, really, on these shows. So, it, you know, would Roman and Oba be bigger? Maybe, but then you got nothing for WrestleMania. So, that's just the way they wanted to go. But they want Oba to be the king of the ring. That was part of his climb to the top.
As he's leaving, he runs into Theory and Braun, and then Braun stares him down, and Michael Cole has to scream about all this great young talent in WWE.
Well, we're gonna get yeah. Braun and Oba. We really are. So, I mean, those are their two big guys, you know, of all the young talent. Those are the ones that they handpicked. And you know, Braun obviously has lost a lot of steam. And I think people, you know, can kind of see that, I think Oba's going to beat him. But they got to do it in a way, because they have to make this a generational feud. They can't do it in a way where he just squashes him. I mean, it's got to go kind of back and forth, I think.
And Braun destroying Joe Hendry in a singles match. And then he's all distracted by Oba, so he leaves, and then Theory attacks Hendry, pummels him, and then who should make the save but Tozawa? And he sent Theory packing.
Well, I think they would just get a Tozawa and Theory singles match, so Tozawa can just get killed for heat.
We had a big cast interview. He was asked, why'd you beat up Giovanni? He goes, 8 years. I was left for dead in the dirt. 8 years to get back to hear from rock bottom, he says. And then he goes, Javon, that was nothing personal. Guy just got in the way. I'm here to stack bodies. And he leaves. So, there you go. Mm-hmm. Chad Gable came out, did a long promo, mentioned fighting back from being Shorty G, thanked the fans for sticking with him.
There were a lot of fans doing that overhead clap thing. I figured it would get over it at some point, but it is... It is starting to get over. They're not singing the song yet, but they probably will at some point.
Penta then came out, and he put him over, raised his hand in victory. Dom and JD end up coming out. Dom says, you're not a real luchador. As soon as you lost that match, you were no longer a luchador. Chad ends up saying, you know what, you guys, if you want
He's not a luchador at all.
Well, technically, a luchador is a Mexican professional wrestler.
So. Yeah, but it's a style, and he doesn't do that style whatsoever.
So they agree to do a tag match right now. And so it's Chad and Penta versus JD and Dom. And as noted, ends with Dom trying to use the hammer, but the ref ends up getting a hold of it as he's putting it away. Penta hits Dom with the belt. Chad hits the Chaos Theory and pins him. Two straight losses for the AAA Mega Champion heading into Triple Mania next month.
Yeah, where he's main eventing. I mean, in theory, if he's going to lose... Shouldn't he be wrestling Gable somewhere for the title?
You'd think, but I don't think that's happening.
I don't either. It's actually possible. It might, because they do have two Triple Manias. You know, but I think they're only going to do one because they've really hyped up the idea that Grande's getting the shot. So I don't think they can do shots at both shows.
We had Braun meeting with Paul. He said, "Oh, but Femi tried to get in my way. I'm going to do something about it." Paul said, "You should do something about it." Braun says, "Well, where's the guy at?" Paul goes, "Why would I know where he's at?" And Braun said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was your new best friend." And he storms off, and Paul gets a weird look on his face. And then, yes, the main event is Fatu and Royce Keyes in a street fight. And, I mean, it was, for a street fight, it was fine. You know, it was not a marquee Raw main event, but I thought they did a good job. I thought that, crowd was into a lot of it. Yeah.
It's a good match. You know, Jacob's great, you know, and Keyes, you know, I mean, they're, you know, he can hold his own. They destroyed him worse than I mean, I was sure that you know, Jacob would win, but
they did a big time injury angle after. I mean, in the match they gave Royce a lot. Like, he did a running power slam through the barricade, which looked pretty cool, and the middle rope power slam onto a bunch of chairs, and finally Fatu hits
but he killed him at the end.
Fatu hits the pop-up spinebuster through a table. PME goes for the Tongan death grip. Keyes fights, but he goes out, and so the referee stops the match.
And he's got blood all over his mouth, which
Not yet. So first he has the grip on, and then all the geeks come down to break it up. But no, Fatu attacks him again and puts him in the death grip.
He had the blood right away.
So Royce is bleeding from the mouth. Jacob gives him the hip attacks in the corner, puts a chair around his neck. Everyone comes down to tell him to calm down. He teases leaving, but then breaks free, runs down, hits the hip attack with the chair around the neck, which they always sell as, like, this guy's going to be out for a while. So yeah. He should be out for a while after this.
I sense that. I have not heard that, but I sense that from watching it, yeah.
So Roman comes out. He acknowledges Jacob. They do the finger in the air. And then that's when they have the bizarre deal where he goes backstage to explain to Ray, "I had no idea you were the GM of AAA, but you want to talk? Let's talk." And so that was that. I thought the show overall was solid, but, you know.
There was new stuff. You know, I mean, it was like, were there any really good matches? No. Were there some good promos? Yes, there always are. I thought, but it was new. You know, like they started some things. You know, often when they start these things, they're new and fresh. After 5 or 6 weeks of promos going back and forth, I mean, that's what we had with SummerSlam, and people got tired of it. And now, you know, I mean, it may be 10 weeks.
Well, there is that Sunday night's main event. So, honestly, I would presume that's where Roman and LA Knight's probably going to be. I think it's more likely Saturday night's main event. But I mean, we got plenty of time, so they could do one there and then another.
I have to check. I don't know that he's working Atlanta. I know he's working New Orleans.
All right. Before we go, tomorrow's NXT has got Kendall Gray, Lola Vice for the NXT Women's Title in an underground match. So that has the potential to be awesome. Vanity Project versus Miles Bourne and Tavion Heights for the tag titles. Ren Sinclair and Zarya for the speed title. If Ren wins, she gets a shot at Zarya's title. And then Jada Parker and Thea Hale versus Carmen Petrovic and Nikita Lyons. The Wednesday Grand Slam Mexico has 8 matches announced at this point. I believe this will be an advertised 2.5-hour show instead of an unadvertised 2.5-hour show.
Yeah, I'll bet it goes more than 2.5 hours.
We got Kyle Fletcher, Mike Bailey. International title. Will Ospreay, Mark Davis with no outside interference in a Mexico City street fight. Willow Nightingale and the Brawling Birds against Mercedes and Divine Dominion. Chris Statlander and Persephone. Commander Andrade and Ciampa with the winner getting the first spot in the All-In Casino Gauntlet. Demand against Hangman, Brody King, and Bandido.
That could be really interesting.
For the Trios titles.
That could be a title change, too.
And Adam Copeland, Christian Cage, and the Young Bucks versus the Death Riders, all of them. And then Kevin Knight, Okada, and Hechicero against Jericho, Mystico, and Darby Allin. Yeah. There's some matches on this show. So that's coming up on Wednesday. And that's that. So we're going to be back up on Wednesday talking both of those shows as well as all of the news. There's been, God only knows how many shows up over the last couple of days. Multiple SummerSlam shows. Observer Live with Lance today. He'll be up again tomorrow. Lots of stuff to check out. New Observer. The Dave and Garrett show that was not planned but ended up happening. So a lot of stuff, everybody. Check it out. And that's it. We'll talk to you again after a while.